Super Bowl 42 champion.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
A night. It's a Sunday evening on The Fan, and I am Sean Moraz taking it up until Sunday Night Football with the Texans and the Bears here on The Fan. Get on the phones at 888-808-1019. And what was a hectic early Sunday afternoon here in the tri-state area? Some good, some bad, some horrifying, some unexplainable. Some brutal injuries, and we're going to try to break that and pack this all down as much as we can with the Giants, Jets, Yankees, and Mets, all with significant games this afternoon. The Giants and the Yankees, as you heard on either one of our signals, wrapping up just a little while ago. Okay, so a little bit of everything and a little bit of potpourri. First, let's start Giants. You just heard the post-game show wrap here on The Fan. I am a Giants fan. I won't hide it. I never will hide it. Last week, you maybe heard me, maybe didn't, when I came on after the postgame show and I yelled and screamed, couldn't believe it, could not believe they lost at home on the 100-season anniversary game to the Minnesota Vikings. And I have to be honest with you, I sit here tonight just absolutely numb to the loss that the New York Giants suffered today down in Landover, Maryland. Final score 21-18. It just had a negative feel from the beginning because of Brian Daboll's inexcusable approach to the kicker situation. So let's just start here. We get a little news on the injury front yesterday, might have even been late Friday, that Graham Gano had a bit of a groin issue. Now, why is this significant to myself and other Giant fans, and why did this register with everybody? Because last year, the Giants dealt with Graham Gano groin injuries early in the year, and basically Brian Daboll kept saying, he trusts him, and Gano started missing kicks. Eventually, the Giants were left in a position where he got pulled from a game, and Jamie Gillen had to attempt kicks. In fact, the game that we talked about a million times, the Giant-Jet game, is where it all came to a head. Had Graham Gano not been hurt, had Brian Daboll basically not just trusted Graham Gano to be honest with him, the Giants probably beat the Jets last year. Didn't, whatever, fine, season was sunk anyway. But to have that whole experience last year, knowing that, you know, eventually Mason Crosby's on the team, he's missing a kick with the Rams, that the kicker situation was part of multiple reasons why the season got derailed. And then the Giants enter this year, and they decide to keep, think about this, on the practice squad, keep a young rookie kicker, and I think I'm getting the last name right. We saw him kick in the preseason, Jude Matnamy. Doesn't matter what his name is. All that matters is what his job is, and his job is the place kick. Today's NFL has made it so easy, for an NFL coach to not get depth wrong at critical, important positions. Why is that? Because back in my day, when you had a practice squad, you had to physically sign them to the active roster. Then after the game, if you wanted them back on the practice squad, re-release them, hope they clear waivers, and keep playing that game with the salary cap. Not anymore. Now you get things called practice squad elevations and three of them. And I sat a week ago and watched the New York Giants give Isaiah Simmons zero snaps. Now, he played today. Bear with me. I bring that up to say, of the other 52 guys besides Graham Gano, if you knew his groin was hurt yesterday, how could you? How dare you, Brian Daboll, not use one of your three practice squad elevations and one of your 53, or I guess it ends up being whatever it ends up being, you know, the 48, whatever the active roster spots are. How is one not used on a second kicker for 1 week? You have no problem making sure you don't use guys, all your guys on your roster on game day anyway. I mean, did Jalen Hyatt basically play today? The Giants, knowing they lost games as a result of that, knowing they were keeping a kicker on the practice squad, all it took was one elevation today. One elevation today, And you're not playing football handcuffed by the fact you don't have a kicker. It is so easy, a caveman could do it. And yet Brian Daboll, the coach of the year 2 years ago, I guess in collaboration with Joe Shane, doesn't think, oh, this is a problem. So, of course, what happens? Graham Gano goes out in warm-ups and is booming them. Hits a 60-yarder in warm-ups. But at the end of warm-ups, they're cut short because his injury pops up a little bit. And on the opening kickoff to the game, of course it gets returned back, obviously called back with a penalty. Graham Gano chasing down, completely pulls aside his hamstring. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If you had elevated the other kicker, he could have been doing kickoffs and you just keep Graham Gano for field goals. Because you know what happens on kickoffs this year, Brian Daboll? They're returnable with the new rule. But yet Brian Daboll couldn't do the math and say, I know it's unconventional, but this is the kind of week we need two kickers. And it absolutely bit him in his ass. Now, he was asked about it after the game. He was pressed by it. I believe it was Dunleavy who had said something to the effect. Ryan Dunleavy does a great job, New York Post. Said, are you basically telling me you don't think a hamstring could be connected to favoring a groin? Of course it can. And then Daboll was quick to point out that he's not a doctor. No kidding. Right now, you barely look like a head coach. And I've defended you for far too long. That was inexcusable today. And they lose a game semi as a result. Now, here's the other truth to this, and this is why this is not just on the kicking situation, but Brian Daboll should be led there because Brian Daboll should not be left off the hook. The uncomfortable truth is, and bear with me because I am far from a mathematician, had the Giants had Graham Gano and played the style of football they typically play with Graham Gano, they would have had those two made extra points to get them to 14 points as opposed to 12. However, when the Giants scored that Wandell Robinson touchdown, the third touchdown of the game that got him to 18 points, that drive was helped along by a fourth down conversion to Malik Nabers. That, had the Giants had Graham Gano, there's no shot they're attempting that in that kind of situation down 2 points. They would have kicked the field goal. So the Giants actually, at one point in this game when he had 18 points, would have had less points had Graham Gano or had they had a kicker. They would have been up 17-15 instead of 18-15. Why do I continue to say this, or why am I bringing this up? Because inevitably, when the Giants don't have the kicker and everybody's focusing on that on their final drive of the game and Malik Nabers drops that fourth down, that, with a kicker, would have got the Giants, yes, to 21 points. However, with the kicker, they would have, like I just tried explaining earlier, only really had 20 points because they would have never had the third touchdown. So in the end, when Washington is once again gashing them down their throats because the defense can't make a tackle on the run game, the Giants still would have lost the game 21-20 with the kicker. So Graham Gano's injury, while inexcusably handled by Brian Daboll, is not actually the reason the Giants lost this game. The reason they lost this game is because the defense led by Shane Bowen is completely inept. How can the Washington Commanders, when everything is read, run this, read, run that, can barely complete passes down the field? How could you let Brian Robinson run for basically 700 yards in a game? Two third and 13s converted, an Eckler screen pass? How could the defense pull this off today? How could they top themselves off last week with Sam Darnold completing 100 passes in a row? Well, they did it. They lost today because this defense, get this, sucks. Aggravating. 0-2 Giants football to start the year. Now, if you hear me Monday through Friday with Evan and Tiki, in the end, the Sunday stings stink. This stinks tonight, but I am kind of apathetic towards it because guess what? Inevitably, game, you notice a name we haven't said so far? Daniel Jones. Actually played pretty decent today, and I give a lot of credit. More on him if you want to call on him, fine. 888-808-1019. You know, again, they're dumping Daniel Jones at the end of the year, and they're drafting a quarterback. Last year, beating the Commanders midway through the year, probably cost them Jaden Daniels. So, this loss may end up being a win for the franchise long term, But it's just inexcusable the way that Brian Daboll handled this, and frankly, how a defense could look this much backwards with Shane Bowen now running it. How could you miss so many tackles? With, by the way, Newbin and Phillips, the two rookies, continuing to be the stalwarts there. I don't know what's broken in the linebacker core. Clearly, they have a defensive tackle issue next to Dexter Lawrence. I mean, just horrible. And Jason Pinnock, take another penalty. Go scratch. That's the Giants. Now, quickly on the Jets. You take any win you can right now, right? I mean, you lose on a short week. You lost on a Monday night. You come back on a short week at Tennessee, a spunky Titan team that's going to fight and claw. Aaron Rodgers does not look like vintage Aaron Rodgers. Now, is that a problem long term if you're trying to win a Super Bowl? Sure. But let's, you know, still, two games off the Achilles, I'll cut him a little bit of a break. And you can see the flashes as he did. That big throw to Mike Williams, which was enormous for the Jets down the stretch. Obviously, the Breece Hall touchdown was big. But, you know, you saw moments in this game. The Jet defensive, or the Jet offensive line versus good defensive fronts, those run lanes, they can be brutal and hard to come by, and Rodgers doesn't have the escapability that he once had at a younger age. Oh, by the way, that should be expected. But they still find a way to get 24 points. They fought, they scratched, they clawed. Newsflash, though, if Will Levis isn't making a horrendous play at the end of that first half, do they win this game? Maybe not. There were some idiotic plays and moments by Will Levis in this game. But, again, you sign for it, right? You get to 1-1. You got it. Now what looks like not a horrendous Patriot team, but a Patriot team you should absolutely beat on a short week. Here's the issue, though, with the Jets. These damn injuries. And I will be real. The last training camp 2 years ago, we interviewed Jermaine Johnson on Evan and Teague. He couldn't have been a nicer guy. We are hoping for the best on this, MRI, all his tests. But all indications and all feels point to he's probably lost to the year with Achilles. And for the second straight year, the Jets lose a major player to an Achilles issue, an injury. And we saw the Jet pass rush in week one. You really want to see them without Jermaine Johnson the rest of the way? Here's the fortunate part for the Jets, or unfortunate part, whatever way you want to look at it. They have a solution that's technically on their roster, and his name's Hassan Reddick. And if you're Hassan Reddick, you never root for injuries, but my God. My God, did you get the ultimate gift to you with this Jermaine Johnson injury? You have unbelievable leverage now. We kept saying, what leverage does Reddick have? He has unbelievable leverage now. Because if you're the Jets, you're 1-1, you saw how you look versus an elite team, you should not fool around at all. With this roster, you think Aaron Rodgers is going to look any younger next year? No, he's going to probably only continue to look older. You got to seize the moment. You got to seize this year. And if that puts you in cap hell in a couple of years trying to figure out how you're going to kick the money down the road with this Reddick deal, so be it. You need Reddick more than ever now, which Jermaine Johnson probably lost for the year, if you want this season to be what it should be. And if you're the Jets, there's no reason it should not be. You don't trade for Aaron Rodgers if you don't do everything possible to be all in, and you have to be now without Jermaine Johnson. So the win is good. The Jermaine Johnson injury is sickening. It seems like positive news on C.J. Mosley, left with the toe. The Jets think they could have him on Thursday, which thank God for that, because if you didn't have Johnson and Mosley, it's a problem. And by the way, you're not going to have, even if Reddick stepped off the bus tomorrow, short week's a tough spot. Get him ready for week four versus Denver. You got to get the deal done now, Joe Douglas. You have to. So, Jet fans, great time in Nashville. Again, thankful for the win. Yeah, you have to, but Jermaine Johnson, injury sickening, got to get Reddick in here. Call us on the Jets, 888-808-1019. Two quick baseball thoughts. Tomorrow, we will all hold our breath as we wait MRI news on Francisco Lindor with that lower back pain. Went to play today, got pulled after the first inning. Mets lose in heartbreaking fashion. Now, lucky for them, the Braves play tonight. They sit a half game back, but not the best of news here. If you're a Padre, a Diamondback fan, or good news for the Jets from that standpoint, as of right before the air, I believe both were losing, if not had lost. Let me go back to the scoreboard. No, Padres have taken a 2-1 lead on the Giants. They were tied earlier. Diamondbacks trail by 3. So at least you could get some help there, not lose ground with the Diamondbacks. Probably will lose ground here with the Padres as the Giants come up here. And, of course, you root like heck for the Dodgers tonight. But if Lindor is hurt, I mean, after everything he lulled him back, that is going to be huge for the Mets. Huge loss for the Mets, understandably so. And now, close with this, Aaron Judge is back. We'll talk more if you want to call on the Garrett Cole stuff, fine from yesterday. But the Yankees taking 3 of 4, day the Orioles lose today. And Alex Cora, kiss our ass, sign New York. Good for the Yankees today, big-time win. All of it's on the table. The phones are now bent the knee to you. 888-808-1019. It's Sean Morash on the Fan. Let's get it rolling.